We are in a preaching series looking at miracles. We're looking at miracles that Jesus performed in the Gospels, different miracles, different ways that Jesus demonstrated his power and his authority. And we've been doing that over the last few weeks. And our kind of like our thread through all the different miracles is Mark 9 and verse 23, where Jesus says to the disciples, "Everything is possible for one who believes." Everything is possible. That means nothing is impossible for the one who believes. So the questions that we're asking ourselves as we look at these miracles in the Gospels is do we have faith for miracles today? Do we take Jesus at his word and do we put that into practice? Do we take the things that Jesus says? Do we take the promises that Jesus has given us? And do we actually live them out in our day-to-day life? So far, we've looked at the healing of a leper in Mark chapter 1. We've looked at the calming of the storm. And last week, we looked at the faith of the centurion. Today, we're going to look at Mark chapter 5. And we're going to look at the healing of the demon-possessed man. Let me just give you a little bit of context before we read the scripture. If you want to find it, it'll come up on the screen. It's Mark chapter 5, starting at verse 1. But just to give you a little bit of context as we read this scripture. So Jesus has just calmed the storm. In chapter 4, Sam looked at it a couple of weeks ago. Jesus has just calmed the storm. And then in his boat, he goes over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And he goes to a place called Gerasenes. And this is a Gentile region. This is an area not populated by Jews. We can see that very clearly because they keep pigs. And for Jews, pigs were unclean. We see that because the demon-possessed man who comes to see Jesus, the minute he steps off the boat, is in a graveyard. There's tombs and graveyards all around. And for the Jews, they were not allowed to be anywhere close to dead bodies. They had to go and purify themselves for a week if they came into contact with any dead bodies. So this was a region that was completely un-Jewish. This was a region that was completely off Jesus's remit, or so you would have thought. And yet Jesus chose very specifically to go there. He chose very specifically to get in his boat and go over the other side to this Gentile region. And just one more thing I want you to notice before we read the passage. Jesus has just calmed the storm. Mark 4, 35 to 41, the very passage before. Jesus has just calmed the storm. He has demonstrated power over external forces. He has just stilled the wind, the waves, the rain. You know, he's stilled everything. He's stilled the external forces. What we see here is Jesus stilling and calming the internal storm that's going on within the life of one man. This demon-possessed man, inside of him is a storm. Inside of him is something going on that's so terrible and so horrific, and yet Jesus calms him internally. You see, Jesus has authority over the external, and Jesus has the authority over the internal. So with that in mind, that little bit of context, let's read Mark chapter 5, starting from verse 1, we'll read right through to verse 17. They went across, that's Jesus and his disciples, went across the lake to the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an evil spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart. He broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, He ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Swear to God that you won't torture me." For Jesus had said to him, "Come out of this man, you evil spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "My name is Legion," he replied, "for we are many." And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. A large herd of pigs was feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the evil spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons. He was sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man, and they told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Okay, there's so much in this passage. We could preach this three or four times over with the depth of things to unpack and things to look at. But I want to focus on three things. The first one is this. There is power in the presence of Jesus Christ. It's fascinating what the demoniac, what the demons say in verse 7 when Jesus is standing there in front of them. Different versions say slightly different things, but the first part of verse 7, the demons say to Jesus, "What do you want with us?" Or, "Mind your own business," or, "Leave us alone." I want you to take on board this truth, that demons and the devil don't want to have any contact with Jesus Christ. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ. You see, what happens is Jesus arrives on the shore. The demon-possessed man comes through the tombs, and there he is, right in front of Jesus. And the first thing that this demon-possessed man says to Jesus is basically, "Leave me alone." I.e., go back on the boat and go back to the other side of Galilee. Leave us alone. You think, why? Why? Why is the demon-possessed man, why is this legion of demons speaking out and saying, "Leave us alone"? I want to unpack that for a minute because it is incredibly important. You see, Jesus and Satan are complete opposites. Everything about Jesus is the opposite to Satan. Everything about who Jesus Christ is the opposite to who Satan is. If we go right back in the Bible to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 17, we read there that after the fall, there was enmity, there was opposition between Jesus, the one who would crush the Satan's head, and Satan himself. There was opposition. They were completely the opposite. Jesus is light, Satan is darkness. Jesus is life, Satan is death. Jesus is love, Satan is hate. Jesus is goodness, Satan is evil. Jesus is truth, Satan is falsehood. Jesus is the Son of God, he is God himself, and Satan tries and pretends and masquerades to be God. It's a simple point, but I want you to remind yourself that where Jesus is, where Jesus Christ himself is, Satan cannot stand being there. When Jesus Christ comes into a situation, when Jesus Christ comes into a person's life, then the devil and Satan and his demons have to flee. They are complete opposites. They cannot live in the same place. They cannot live in the same environment. They are complete opposites. And you know, Satan is totally aware that Jesus' very mission on this earth is to destroy the works of the evil one. Look at 1 John 3 and verse 18. This sums it up. This sums up Jesus' mission on earth. Jesus' mission to destroy Satan. 1 John 3 and verse 8 says this. Basically, Jesus says, I have come to destroy the works of the evil one. I have come to destroy the works of the evil one. That is Jesus' mission to earth, to destroy the works of the evil one. We look at this world today, we see sin, we see destruction. We see lives that are a misery. We see famine. We see murder. We see war. We see knife crime. We see all these different things. Jesus came to destroy the work of the evil one. You see, the first Adam, the first man sinned. Jesus was the second Adam who came to die on the cross to cancel the curse, to pay the price, to live the perfect life. Satan hates the presence of Jesus Christ, because he knows that Jesus' sole purpose is to destroy him, is to get him out of a situation. You know, it says that this man had a legion of demons. A legion is around 5,000 to 6,000 men. In terms of the Roman army, it was the largest amount of men. We know a centurion looks after 100 men, but a legion was somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 men. So that is a lot of demons. That is a lot of demons. And when Jesus came, rather than thinking that they had power and authority because there was 5,000, 6,000 of them, their first instinct, their first thought, their first word back to Jesus is, leave us alone. Leave us alone. Let us get on with our work of destroying this man's life. Let us get on with our work of making his life a misery, making the misery of everyone else's life here in this part of the country. Let us get on with that. Let us wreck his life. Let us wreck his family life. Let us wreck everyone's life connected to this man. Jesus, leave us alone. You see, that's Satan's plan. Satan says, just leave me alone. Because Satan knows if he comes into contact with the presence of Jesus Christ, he flees. He has to go. Because Jesus comes to destroy the works of the evil one. Let me tell you, in 2018, in our world today, one of Satan's biggest tricks, one of the things that Satan is trying to do all the time, is say, just leave me alone. Let me get on with making a mess of culture. Let me get on with making a mess of young people's lives. Let me get on with making a mess of this nation. Let me get on with making a mess of this individual and their family and their friends and the workplace that they are in. Just leave me alone. But we as believers, we are not to leave the devil alone to ruin people's lives. You see, salvation, when Christ comes to live and dwell inside of us, Jesus comes to live and dwell inside of us, is a wonderful thing. Salvation is our place in heaven. Salvation is wonderful because we go from darkness to light. But so often we leave it there. And we think, we have my place in heaven. We think, well, I know that I am saved. I know that when I die, I go to be with Jesus. And the devil plays a trick and says, well, that's enough. So now leave me alone. Now just leave me alone. Now just let me get on with things. Now just let me keep making a misery and a mockery of things connected to you, things around you, things in the world today. We must hear this. Jesus' presence, the presence of Jesus, defeats the evil one. We have a calling on our lives as believers today to bring the presence of Jesus into situations. We're to bring the presence of Jesus into our workplace, into our homes, with our conversations and friendships. Because when we do, the devil flees. You see, there is huge power in preaching the name of Jesus. There is huge power in welcoming Jesus into a situation, into a person's life, salvation, to preaching the gospel. There is huge power in these things. The devil will lie. He will say, leave me alone. Keep quiet. It's none of your business. But we're to invite, we're to pray, we're to bring the presence of Jesus. Because where Jesus is, the devil flees. And you see, Satan is totally powerless when Jesus comes. You know, in the presence of men, Satan can ruin a life. That this demoniac is a classic case. In the presence of one man's life, it's ruined if Satan and Satan alone is there. But if Jesus comes, then that Satan and demons shrink away. They have no power or no authority. Isn't it interesting in verse 7, you see what these demons do when they are coming to Jesus, when Jesus comes onto the shore, when Jesus comes and meets this man, what they do is say, leave me alone. And what they do is try to mock Jesus and say, leave me alone. And they try and play the pity card and they try and play the leave me alone. Don't send me away. Don't do it, Jesus. Because they know the power of Jesus. Satan knows that there will be a day when he will be completely defeated. There will be a day when he will be banished to hell. And in the time before that happens, Satan is trying to make as much mischief as he can, ruin as many lives as he can. Listen, it's so simple. It's such a simple point, but it's such a powerful one. Satan wants to be left alone. Satan wants to just ruin people's lives. But we need to understand that the power of Jesus Christ, the presence of Jesus Christ, is what means the devil and demons flee. We must bring the presence of Jesus into situations and into people's lives. You say, Mark, how do I do that? What does that look like? Let me just give you two practical things. Firstly, bring people into the presence of Jesus. Invite them to church. Invite them to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I can remember vividly having all these types of battles with young people. I used to do a lot of work with young people a number of years ago. And one of the biggest battles was getting young people to come to New Day, which is a Christian camp and would be worship and teaching. One of the biggest battles was to get the young people to come onto the holiday and then to come into the worship tent. It was a battle. Every type of practicality, every type of difficulty would be put in the way, from signing forms to excuses to not wanting to do this or that or the other. There would be this huge battle to actually get people into the presence of Jesus so that God could meet with them and change their life. It's a battle. The devil didn't want them to come under the sound of the gospel. The devil didn't want them to come into the presence of God. It's a battle. We're to bring people into the presence of Jesus. The devil will say, oh, leave them alone. The devil will say, oh, don't bother them. The devil will say, oh, don't invite them. They'll never come. The devil will say, oh, they won't be interested. Because the devil wants you to say, leave them alone, leave them alone, leave them alone, leave them alone. Because he knows that there is power in the presence of Jesus. He knows there is power when the gospel is preached. He knows there is power when God's people gather to worship. He knows that. So his scheme and his power is leave them alone, let them be, don't bother them and don't invite them. We're to invite people into the presence of God. And then secondly, we're to bring the presence of God into our workplaces and into our families and into our friendship circles. You see, the Bible says this. The Bible says that we are the aroma of Christ. The Bible says that Christ lives and dwells inside of us. If we are believers, then the Christ lives and dwells inside of us. So we have the presence of Jesus inside of us. We carry the presence of Jesus. I think the thing we struggle with is we are not so aware of that. We don't remind ourselves of that. And I think the more we remind ourselves, the more we realize, the more we walk into situations knowing that we carry the presence of God, the more that we do that, the more we will see God do. You see, I think it's letting something in our minds drop to our hearts and being a reality. It is true, Christ is in us. It is true, we're the aroma of Christ. But I think we sometimes struggle to believe that. We sometimes struggle to say, really? Is that true? Really? So let me encourage you. You go into a meeting this week. You go into a difficult meeting at work. Let me tell you, Christ's presence as a believer is in you. He goes with you into that meeting. But let me encourage you to pray. Let me encourage you to say, Jesus, thank you that you are with me. Thank you as I walk into that room, your presence goes with me. Thank you that I can be aware and ask me and help me to be aware that your presence goes with me. It goes before me. It carries me. It goes around me. It is with me. Pray that prayer. You go into a challenging conversation with a work colleague. Say, Jesus, your presence is with me. Help me. Help me to have the right words. Jesus, help me. If you pray that, if you remind yourself of that, you are bringing Jesus into these situations. And you know what? The Satan hates it. Satan absolutely hates it. Satan will flee. Satan will sometimes knock back against you. But Satan hates it. Because you are bringing the presence of Jesus into the workplace, into your home, into your friendships, into these areas. You see, the legion of demons that was in this man knew the only hope, the only thing that could save them was if Jesus got back on the boat and went back over the other side. That was the only thing that could save them. They knew that. The only thing. Because they knew that in the presence of Jesus, they were powerless. And in the presence of Jesus, they would be destroyed. So please, Christ is in you. The hope of glory. God's presence is in you as a believer. You may not feel like it. You may not feel strong. You may not feel like you can face situations. You may not feel like you can face the onslaught. But Christ is in you. His power is greater than any other. His very presence in you means that demons flee. His very presence in you when you walk into a situation means that the devil knows that he is defeated. So I want you to hold that. There is power in the presence of Jesus. Second thing, there is power in the name of Jesus. Let me just remind you again about the context of this passage, the context of what Jesus does. From a Jewish perspective, what Jesus does is mind-blowing. He goes to a Gentile area where there are tombs, which is unclean, graveyards, tombs, unclean, where people are pig farmers. Where there's a man with demonic spirits. You know, everything about those statements, everything about those descriptions, if you are Jewish, you go, whoa, I don't want to have anything to do with that. That is the opposite of everything that we are. But Jesus demonstrates his power. And he demonstrates his love. He goes to the other side of Galilee. He destroys the work of the evil one. And he shows the universality of his power. His power, his love is for all people. Jewish, Gentile, his power is for all people. Let's just read again verse 8 and 10. Just want to read verse 8 and 10 again. This is, you know, the demoniac has come to Jesus and says, leave me alone, get away from me. That was his only hope, you know, if Jesus got back on the boat. And then read what Jesus says. For Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Come out of this man. Come out of this man. Jesus had expelled and does expel a legion of demons from one man by declaring his authority and his power. There's not some long formula. There's not some ritual of exorcism. He just declares, come out. Come out of this man. And with Jesus' authority, this legion of demons go into a herd of pigs, which ends up in the sea. There is power in the name of Jesus. Legion may be many, but there is power in the name of Jesus. You see, demons offer no challenge to Jesus Christ. They only ask for mercy. They're asking for mercy. Don't send us out of the area. That's the only thing they're saying. They're not challenging. They know that their time is up. They know that they are defeated. They're asking for mercy. They cannot challenge the power and authority of Jesus Christ. Now, here's something really, really important. I was reading it this week. This is what challenged me above all else. Verse 10. The spirits, the demons, they got the authority and the power of Jesus Christ. The demons and the powers and authorities in this man, they got Jesus' authority. They knew that Jesus was a higher authority than they knew. They knew that they were defeated. They knew. They knew their time was up. They knew that they were defeated. They were asking for mercy. The demons, the devil knows that he is defeated. Here's where I was challenged. Here's where I want to challenge you. Do you know that reality? Do you know that that is true? In your life, when you face your battles, when you face your struggles, do you really know that in the name of Jesus, you have authority and power over all things? Because the devil knows and the demons know, but do you know? Do you know that? If you know it, do you live it? If you know it, do you live it out? If you know it, do you put it into practice? Because I think we struggle to believe that. When we face opposition, when we face the schemes and the works of the evil one, we struggle to put it into practice. But the enemy knows that he's defeated. It's human beings, it's us who struggle to believe it. The Bible says, he that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And let me just illustrate this in one more way. You see, the man in the passage was a demoniac. He was possessed by a legion of demons. And if we want to know the power of the name of Jesus, I think in this passage, we can contrast the demoniac in verse 2 to 5 with the man sitting in verse 15 at the feet of Jesus. You see, the demoniac in verse 2 to 5 is a crazed man. He has matted hair. He has things stuck to his beard. He has crazy eyes. He walks with a bent. He mutters weird things. This man is possessed. You can see it. You can see it physically in his body. You can see that he is possessed by Satan. You can see it in everything that he does and his whole countenance. But Jesus speaks the word. Jesus speaks authority. Jesus says, come out in the name of Jesus. And now we see in verse 15, a man sitting at Jesus' feet. And we see a man fully clothed. We see a man calmly listening to the words of Jesus. We see a man who all the villagers cannot believe their eyes, the change and the transformation that has taken place. You see, what we have in this man is a picture of the authority of Jesus Christ. We have a picture of what Jesus can do through the power of his name. When we pray in the name of Jesus, when we call on the name of Jesus, that is the change that takes place. That is the change that can take place. When we pray for people to be set free, that is the change that can be taking place. When we pray for people to be saved, that is the change that can take place. When we pray for people to be healed, that is the change that can take place. It's not complicated. You're seeing the power of God at work. Is not, I believe, meant to be complicated. It's not meant to be full of formulas. It's not meant to be full of do this and do that. It's not meant to be full of this funny thing and that funny thing. No, no, no. It's very simple. It's knowing the authority and the power with the presence of Jesus and the authority and the power of the name of Jesus. That changes everything. That transforms lives. You say, is there authority and power in the name of Jesus? Look at this demoniac. Look at what he was, and now look at what he is. The change, the transformation, Jesus Christ, come out in the name of Jesus. Final thing. So there's power in the presence of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. The demons know that, do we? The final thing, the cross defeats Satan once and for all. What we have here in Mark's gospel is a personal, individual story. It's the personal, individual story of one man who was possessed by a legion of demons, who was set free, calm, dressed in his right mind. That's the focused down individual one man story. But you know, in the Gospel of Mark, Mark is always building towards the big picture. He's always building towards the cross. He's always building towards Jesus' ultimate mission. Let me describe to you Jesus' death on the cross. You see, Jesus' death on the cross bears striking similarities to this demoniac in the tombs and the caves on the Sea of Galilee. When Jesus died on the cross, he was naked and isolated. He was crucified outside of the town, among the tombs. He was shouting things. Almost incomprehensible things. His body had been torn apart by the whips of the Roman soldiers. On that cross, Jesus dealt with the demons and Satan once and for all. Jesus took the full force of evil upon himself so that others, so that you and I may go free. Colossians 2 and verse 15 says this, having disarmed the powers and authorities, Jesus made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. You see, on that cross, Satan was defeated. The earthly powers, the demonic powers were defeated once and for all. What Jesus did on that cross, the big picture, what Jesus accomplished once and for all on that cross means that the individual, the demoniac, could be set free. It means each one of us, the individual, can be set free from whatever is pulling us down and whatever is doing us in. We can be set free on an individual level because on an eternity level, the cross has dealt with the power and the authority of Satan. Jesus has conquered that on that cross so that the authority and the power can be outworked in individual people's lives. That's the big picture. Satan is defeated on that cross. I love that in the Gospels, we get lots of stories of individual men and women. Individual stories about how they come to Jesus and their life is transformed. They come paralyzed and they go away healed. They come blind and they go away seeing. They come or someone brings them to them dead and they go away alive. You see, these are personal stories of individuals where we see the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus at work. It is all possible because of the backdrop of the cross. The backdrop of Jesus defeating Satan and his demons and all earthly powers on that cross. Jesus has that power and authority over all situations and over all individuals. So I want to conclude. I want to bring this together. It's a challenging topic. It's a passage that you could look at again and again, study and get loads of things out of it. There's some things I haven't touched on. There's some things I haven't had time to touch on. But I wanted to focus on a very practical application. Look, there is power in the presence of Jesus, and there is power in the name of Jesus. The backdrop is the cross, where Jesus defeated Satan. Satan will say, "Leave me alone." Satan will say, "Let me get on with wrecking the world and wrecking lives." Satan will speak that. But as believers, we're to be militant in taking the name of Jesus and taking the presence of Jesus into the world and seeing freedom, seeing chains fall off, seeing people set free, seeing lives transformed.